WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. Foreign purchases of American homes has fallen sharply in recent months. According to the National Association of Realtors, purchases of American homes by international buyers totaled $121 billion during the fiscal year ended in March. That was down from $153 billion the prior year. The corresponding 21% decline is the largest on record. While the decline in home purchases by international buyers isn't good for sellers, it helps American buyers in upscale places like Manhattan, Seattle, San Francisco, and Miami, places where American buyers have had to compete with foreign purchasers in especially expensive neighborhoods. While foreigners comprise a small share of the overall U.S. housing market, they're concentrated at the high end of the market, are more likely to pay in cash, and bid above the asking price. As indicated by writer Laura Cusisto, the sharp decline in purchases by foreign buyers reflects higher home prices, higher mortgage rates, a strengthening U.S. dollar, and intensifying political tensions between America and other parts of the world. As an example, purchases by Canadians declined 45% during a recent 12-month period. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. After many years of recovery from the financial crisis, the U.S. housing market, particularly in high-flying areas like Seattle, Silicon Valley, and Austin, Texas, appears to be headed for its broadest slowdown in years. With buyers squeezed by rising mortgage rates and prices climbing about twice as fast as incomes, a growing number of prospective buyers are pulling out of the market. As a result, homes that had been selling in a few days are now staying on the market for weeks. As indicated by Bloomberg, existing home sales declined in June for a third consecutive month. Purchases of new homes are at their slowest pace in 8 months. The available inventory of unsold homes has begun to grow again, helping to slow home price appreciation. By May, existing home prices were rising at their slowest pace since 2012, according to the Federal Housing Finance Agency. The emerging wariness among potential homebuyers was noticeable in a recent University of Michigan consumer sentiment survey. That survey indicated that 65% of Americans indicated that it's a good time to purchase a home, the lowest share since 2008 when the economy was mired in recession. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. After many years of recovery from the financial crisis, the U.S. housing market, particularly in high-flying areas like Seattle, Silicon Valley, and Austin, Texas, appears to be headed for its broadest slowdown in years. With buyers squeezed by rising mortgage rates and prices climbing about twice as fast as incomes, a growing number of prospective buyers are pulling out of the market. As a result, homes that had been selling in a few days are now staying on the market for weeks. As indicated by Bloomberg, existing home sales declined in June for a third consecutive month. Purchases of new homes are at their slowest pace in 8 months. The available inventory of unsold homes has begun to grow again, helping to slow home price appreciation. By May, existing home prices were rising at their slowest pace since 2012, according to the Federal Housing Finance Agency. The emerging wariness among potential homebuyers was noticeable in a recent University of Michigan consumer sentiment survey. That survey indicated that 65% of Americans indicated that it's a good time to purchase a home, the lowest share since 2008 when the economy was mired in recession. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. It had to happen. With unemployment so low and with expanding enterprises scrambling for workers, more employers are slowly abandoning their preferences for candidates with college degrees and specific skill sets. The goal is to broaden the pool of job candidates and accelerate hiring. As indicated in a real-time economics newsletter, only 23% of entry-level jobs now require applicants to have 3 or more years of experience. That's down from 29% back in 2012. That doesn't sound like an enormous difference, but that puts an additional 1.2 million jobs in closer reach to more applicants. Today's trend stands in stark contrast to circumstances that prevailed during and immediately after the Great Recession. Back then, companies were adding requirements to job postings. With millions of people out of work and human resource departments stacked with resumes, employers could ask for a bundle of credentials even for entry-level or near-entry-level positions. Now, the tightest employment market in decades has left employers with fewer options. Either offer more money, lower hiring standards, or invest more resources in training current staff. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. There are many forms of gender discrimination in the workplace. For instance, recent research published in the Harvard Business Review suggests that one of the reasons that relatively small numbers of women rise to the top of organizational ranks is because many women are given relatively insignificant assignments. The researchers created two separate categories of work. The first is called glamour work, the kind of work that gets noticed by supervisors. The other is called office housework, which includes getting coffee, cleaning up after a lunch meeting, or fulfilling necessary but unsung operational or administrative functions. Studies indicate that women and people of color do more office housework and have less access to glamour work than Caucasian males. As a prominent example, a study by analysts at the University of California and Indiana University found that female professors do more committee service work and less research than their male counterparts. While committee work is important, that's not the pathway to tenure. Publishing research is. Similarly, a study focused on engineering firms found that women were 29% more likely than Caucasian males to report doing more office housework than their colleagues. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.